Blog Talk Radio.
This is an unlawful gathering. The truth is out there.
This is the underground. This is New Media. This is the underground. This is New Media.
Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger? Ranger fans, remember what's the critical thinking hanger?
Now here is the starting lineup for the New York Rangers.
This is New York Rangers hockey.
And here we are on a Saturday night. 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is your St. Patrick's Day edition of Blue Shirt Underground Radio. I don't know if you've been imbibing as much as your host, but it's been a long night. I got together with a friend of mine and his wife, and we were watching the game at our local. Actually, we went to Hooters, and I know some people like to joke about why I seem to be at Hooters a lot, but. The Hooters near my house is one of the few places that I know about. Actually, it's one of the few places, period, here in Arizona that actually has the NHL package. So it's one of the few places we can go and have a few beers when we want to get out of the house and watch hockey. So we went to Hooters here in Mesa, Arizona, hung out on the patio, watched the Rangers fall to the Colorado Avalanche, the Quebec Nordiques, 3-1. At Madison Square Garden, a disheartening loss. I really thought this would be a game. This was going to be a game that Rangers were going to win. They were getting Callahan back. They were getting Lundqvist back. They were getting Delzato back. They were going to have Erickson tonight. There were some fresh legs on defense. Zuccarello back is playing well since he's been called up, and it was not meant to be. I got to take my hat off to Semi, whatever the hell his name is, that Varlamov guy. He was on his game tonight. 41 saves, 41 saves. Kept the Rangers. There were a few that were really really tough saves. I tend to think, I've said this before on the show, I don't think the Rangers make life difficult for a lot of goaltenders. But there were some good quality chances tonight. Varlamov kept him. I'm going to have a lot of trouble saying Varlamov all night long. But he did help. He did. He was able to hold him off. Landeskog got a goal. And let's just give this guy he's going to win the Calder Trophy, unfortunately. As much as I'd like to see Hagelin win it, I think Landeskog is a shoe-in for the Calder. That kid is amazing. Youngest goaltender to ever win the I think they said during the broadcast, youngest Swedish player to ever score a goal in the NHL or something like that. I think he's 19. I think he's a shoo-in for the Calder. Take calls if you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692. I'll keep you entertained as long as I possibly can. I'm hoping Eddie knows we're doing a show. I posted it up in the Facebook group. I did try calling him during the game tonight. He probably went out to watch the game somewhere else. So I don't even know if he knows we're doing a show. I tagged him in Facebook, so maybe he knows. Maybe he'll show up. Who knows? If not, he'll be back with me for the next show, which I think will be Tuesday. Because today is Saturday. The Rangers play Monday. The Rangers play Wednesday. So we'll probably be on Tuesday night. So We'll meet you then. I see Cutter is here. Thank you all for joining us. I appreciate it. Anthony, Bella, Costa, Cutter, Emily, the guest, whoever the frig you are, Howie, Jay Grossman, Lando, Han, one of my favorite names in the world, NYR fan in New Jersey. It's been a while since we've seen you, I think. Rocco Sansone is here. Hopefully you've all been celebrating St. Paddy's Day. I'll tell you a here's a quick Irish joke for you. Kieran O'Connor always slept with his gun under his pillow. Hearing a noise at the foot of the bed, he shot off his big toe. "Thank the Lord I wasn't sleeping at the other end of the bed," Kieran said to his friends at Donegal's Pug. "I would have blown my head off." So, I don't know, maybe, I don't know how many of you are Irish out there. I know a few of you are. I am, you can't tell by my last name, but I am part Irish. So I'm sitting here, I've got my video on, I've got my Shamrock Mets hat on, I've got my green Superman t-shirt on. This is my usual St. Patrick's Day attire. So, yeah, so that's where we're at. We've got the loss, you know, obviously we've got the loss tonight, Colorado, it's two in a row, after the horrible, horrible, disheartening, and I think that might be the best way to put it, disheartening loss to the Penguins the other night. Obviously they were without Delzato, they were out without Callahan, without Lundqvist, who had the flu. Callahan was still recovering from the foot injury, Delzato still recovering from the hip injury. So they were undermanned against the Penguins. So, you know, and you, I think it's only fair that you want to hold on to that as an, you know, maybe not as an excuse, but to give you hope that, you know, when they're at full strength, yeah, they can compete better against the Penguins. But I'll tell you what, after that game, after the Rangers made that game, I believe 3-2, the Penguins were just playing on another level the other night. They really were. And the Rangers just couldn't match it. And whether or not they're going to be able to match it the rest, you know, the rest of the season and then into the playoffs is the big question. Henrik Lundqvist coming back from the flu, you know, probably not, you know, probably not 100% tonight. I don't think he looked 100%. The you know, I don't think he looked his best tonight. I kind of, I guess, you know, maybe I was hoping against hope that we'd get a better performance out of him tonight, but he wasn't at his best. But, and that's, you know, the thing that worries me a little bit, you know, it's been a week, maybe to 10 days now that he hasn't really been at his best, mixing in the, you know, the night that he missed a couple of games with the flu there, but, you know, the couple of games before that, he's not playing at the level we saw a month ago. So, you know, but that's, hopefully he'll get hot again, because I think we all know that they're only going as far as he's going to take them, as usual. The Richards Gabrick Haglund line that we were all crowing about the other night was shut out tonight. They were fairly quiet, but Colorado did a great job. You know, between Varlamov, and I thought their defense played well, and they killed penalties well, although most teams do against the Rangers. I think the Rangers were 0-for-5 on the power play tonight. So, you know, what are you going to do? We move on, and then we got Monday night against the Devils, I think, right? Devils, Monday night, again. Seems like they're playing the Devils about every 4 days, but, you know, they got to find it. They got to find their game again and get it back and get back on track. If you guys want to call in, 646-478-4692 is the number. Again, I'm hoping Eddie's going to pop in here, and we'll get into some individual performances. We'll talk about those in just a few minutes. So let's I'll tell you what, we'll go right to the phones. Let's see who's 718-445. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
It's Emily.
Emily, I'm so glad you called in.
Yeah, I felt like I kind of had to, because I feel like everybody's kind of on the, oh my God, we're going to die, and we're going to not even make the playoffs, which is kind of not going to happen, because we only have to win one more game to do that.
Right.
At least,
well,
to,
you know what,
to clinch a spot, so.
Right. You know what it is? I can't quite understand what's going, when Ranger fans have adopted this mentality. I don't know if it's, part of me just thinks that it's, that there's just too many places for Ranger fans to complain nowadays. You know, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got a thousand Ranger blogs, and you know, it's just mob mentality that just drives Ranger fans crazy. I don't know if it's that. I don't know if it's the fact that Ranger fans also typically are Giants fans and Yankee fans, and, you know, they kind of adopt the mentality where if they don't win every day or every game, then changes have to be made. People have to be fired. People have to be traded. People have to be cut. People have to be waived. People have to be sent to Hartford. I don't know what it is, but I mean, that Pittsburgh law, I was fighting with people on Twitter. Well, not fighting, but arguing with people on Twitter the other night. We suck. We're done. We're finished. We're pretenders. I'm like, come on. It's just, I don't understand it. But you made some good points to me before the show started. And so why don't you reiterate those, and we'll get everybody's take on them.
Well, you know what I think it is, and I was talking to my dad about it earlier because he's been a fan a lot longer than I have. I think that there's three types of Rangers fans. There's ones that think we're not going to win and we have no chance. There's the ones that think we're going to win the Stanley Cup this year. And then there's the people that are actually on a level that know we have a chance as long as we make the playoffs, but we have to start playing a little bit better. And I think defensively, we played really well today, and it was the first really good defensive game that we've played in a very long time. And I also think that if we keep playing that way and get back to our style of play that we had before this, that we'll be fine. And I was watching a little bit of Hockey Night Live, and they said that the Rangers have been the most consistent team, that Pittsburgh, even though they're hot right now, has been really streaky, and we've really been the only ones that have been consistently good, had a couple of skid games, and then came back and were consistent again. And I hope that that's the case, and that we're going to be good again, and that we're obviously going to make the playoffs. And once you're in, you never know. I mean, I was telling you earlier, like with the Giants, after the Saints game, nobody thought the Giants were going to do anything. And then they came back and they picked up their momentum towards the last few games of the season, and they went right into the playoffs, and they dominated, and they won. And they won the championship. So it could happen. I mean, it's just one of those things. We don't really know as fans. And I think also that a lot of fans are so used to us being that bubble team, that eighth-place team that's fighting for the playoffs, and now we're not. So they don't know what to do about it. They're just like, well, we used to be really, like, kind of in the middle, but now we're not. We're on top. So what do we do? I don't know. What's going on? Like, where do we go from here? You know?
Right. I think Ranger fans are waiting for the shoe to drop. And the minute the problem with that is, and I get that, okay? I'm a Met fan, and, you know, I've certainly seen my share of shoes. And, you know, even as a Ranger fan, I've seen my share of shoes. And as a Giants fan, you know, even though we've had we've had great success the last 4 years, there's been certainly a number of shoes that have dropped. But with Ranger fans, it seems like there is just this group that just wants to pounce on them the minute it goes wrong, the minute somebody makes a turnover, the minute Hank gives up a bad goal, the minute they lose a game that maybe they should have won, the minute they get beat by a team that was just better than them that night. They just can't wait to pounce, whether it's on the coach, the GM, the players. And I don't get it. I mean, this team has won one Stanley Cup in 72 years. I wish people would enjoy this a little more and not get so fatalistic with every loss. You know, yeah, it sucks when they lose. Nobody hates to lose more than I do, you know, but Ranger fans have just adopted this completely fatalistic mentality when they lose, that you need to make a million changes and everybody's garbage. And it's very frustrating to me. This fan base is very, very frustrating at times.
Yeah, it's a little frustrating to me too. And to my dad, because he's been a fan since he was a teenager. So it's like, for him, he like I was saying in the chat earlier, went through the whole thing where the Islanders won the four cups in a row, and he had seasons at that point. So he's been through it, and he's still trying to be positive and, you know, say, you know, they have a chance and they can do it, and because he wants them to win. And you just have to, I mean, aside from us actually getting out on the ice and playing the game for them, there's not much we can do but hope that they're going to do better. And as fans, you just kind of have to ride with your team, stay with them through the bad, through the good, and just keep going. And some people, unfortunately, just can't ever be positive about anything. Tortorella said they didn't even play a bad game today, and I don't disagree with him. I think they played a pretty good game today. It's just they couldn't score. The goalie from the Avalanche was phenomenal, which is crazy to me because we seem to be making all the opposite goaltenders look amazing. But
That's just part of their – I don't know how old you are, Emily. I don't know how long you've been a Ranger fan, but that is just their history.
Yeah, I know. I've heard that, too. It happens a lot, apparently.
Your dad, is he a Giants fan as well?
Yeah, he is.
He'll tell you the Giants do the same thing to backup quarterbacks. That's just their history. It's a long, long time they've been doing that. What can you do? You know, Monday night's another game, and you know they're in position to get into the playoffs. And Pittsburgh took it to them the other night, and you know that's to their credit. And you got to regroup and you got to move on.
Exactly. I mean, the Debbies lost to them by the same score that we did. So it's like, it's not just us. They're just a hot team right now. I mean, I wish we could score some more goals. Absolutely, we should be scoring more goals. But for some reason, I mean, and they do have the help of the league who likes to give them calls that are not really there and not give other teams the calls. I mean, they kicked in a goal today and it counted.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't watch the Penguins game, but I did hear.
It was one of those games. I watched it because there was nothing on TV, and it was just – I just get so mad. Like, what do we have to do to get on Bettman's good graces? I really don't know. But, I mean, between Pittsburgh and – I mean, I don't even know anymore. I mean, but think about it like this also. Vancouver's been shitty lately. Detroit has been shitty. Boston's been shitty. It's not just us that's going through the skid right now. There's a lot of really talented teams that are struggling. It's not just the Rangers.
Right. I think every team that wins a championship at the end of the, and I'm not saying that the Rangers are going to win a championship. If you look at every championship team in every sport, they have their lulls. You know, there's an ebb and flow to the season. Not everybody is like you look at the Patriots, you know, 2007, yeah, they went 16-0 in the regular season, but what did it get them? Nothing.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're going to have these tough times. Go back and look at the 94 Rangers. You know, they got off to a bad start. You know, they lost, if I'm not mistaken, and maybe Howie might remember this or Costa, they lost a game, or Anthony, some of the older fans that are here, you know, they're around my age, they lost a game early in the season to the, I believe it was the Ducks, who were maybe a year, they might have been an expansion team, or they were a year or two old. They lost the game to the Ducks like 5-0 or 5-1, and Keenan flipped out on them. I mean, he just went ballistic. And, you know, and they got off to a rough start that year, and it happens. And, you know, it's all, and, you know, the playoffs, especially with hockey, we've seen it, you know, a hot goaltender and a fresh start, and anything can happen in the hockey playoffs. Anything can happen in any playoffs, in any sport. It's not like sports really aren't like what it used to be when a team won, you know, dominated in the regular season and then dominated in the playoffs and won everything. That just doesn't happen anymore, really, in any sport, not just hockey or football or baseball. You know, you see a lot of teams come out of nowhere and win it all, like the Giants or the Cardinals last year in baseball, or the Angels a few years ago in baseball, or the Marlins in baseball, or the Steelers a couple of years ago in football. You know, and the Flyers, when they had to get in on a shootout. Thank you again, Ole Jokinen. We appreciate it. You know, they got in on a shootout, got in the eighth seed, went all the way to the Cup Finals. You know, it's just sport. It's just not like it used to be. It's a totally different. It's a totally different scenario now once the playoffs start, and anything can happen. And, you know, granted, I want them to be I just want them to be in the top four because I want them to have those home games. I want them to have that home ice advantage in the early rounds, and then after that, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's not going to be one of those years like we've seen in the past where they're where they're scraping to get in on the eighth seed, and we got to hope that Tampa Bay beats Carolina on the last game of the season, or we got to hope that Olli Jokinen, thanks again, Olli, scores in a shootout to beat the Flyers against Brian Boucher. I mean, it's not going to be like that. And, you know, I think Tortorella will never want to use this as an excuse, but I think this team, I think they are a little bit tired, playing every other day. I know they're at home and that makes a difference, but you know, every other day they're not getting in any practice work, basically. They're a physical team. They're a team that relies on their forecheck and their, you know, this is a team that plays balls out every night, and that's going to take its toll. And when you're not getting it, when you're barely getting a day to recover from that, I think that's catching up to them a little bit.
I agree with you. I think, I honestly feel like I want them to finish first, and I want them to get the President's Cup, but I think if they drop down to fourth place, it might light a fire under their asses, and they may be like, oh, my, wait, what happened? We were in first for so long, and we just dropped out. We need to pick it up. Or, I mean, maybe they could have Keenan come in and yell at them. I mean, you know, whatever works.
And, you know, the President's Cup, that's a nice thing to say, but if you don't win the main cup, or the President's Trophy, I should say, if you don't win the Stanley Cup, the President's Trophy means nothing. Ask the Washington Capitals how many President's Trophies, you know, how far winning the President's Trophy got them. You know, even to ask the 91-92 Rangers what winning the President's Trophy did for them, and it did absolutely nothing. Thank you again, Ron Francis. And oh, yeah, that penalty on Adam Graves, the slashing against Mario Lemieux. Thank you very much. So, you know, I just want to get them playing well. I don't really even, you know, at this point, the more I think about it, I don't even care where they're seated. I would prefer, obviously, that they're in the top four, so they get that home ice in the first round. Just get them playing well. The rest will take care of itself. Pittsburgh is a great team. There is no doubt about it. I despise them with every fiber of my being. I hate every player that wears that sweater, but they're a great team. You know, obviously Malkin and Cook is having a great season, and Neal and Fleury is better than I could ever recall him playing. And now they've got, you know, Crosby back, and yeah, we hate them, but they're a great team. There's no getting around it. But, you know, the Rangers didn't even take Tortorella's advice in the, you know, from 24/7, the advice that he gave him about Phil Kessel,
and if you have a chance, finish him. He's a good player, but don't shit your pants on him.
Shit your pants on him. And that's exactly what I thought the Rangers did the other night against Pittsburgh. They shit their pants.
They
absolutely 100% shit their pants. And, yeah, you know, what are you going to do? They learn from it. You know, we move on. You know, Monday night's another game.
Exactly. I hope we can beat the crap out of the Debbies. But I also think that somebody needs to punch Downey and knock his ass out, because that guy's really pissing me off. He's just a dirty player, and I can't. And yeah, people were like, oh, well, if he was on the Rangers, no. I don't put up with that. I hated Brashear. I hate guys like that. I like enforcers, guys that stick up for their teammates, but I don't like guys that seem to purposely go out there and try to hurt people. I don't.
Right.
It's just not. It takes away from the integrity of the game. I mean, you're supposed to go out there and try your best without trying to kill somebody. No?
Yeah.
I agree.
Now, let me ask you, since I got you on the phone, what did you think of that Ryan, the penalty they called on McDonough late in the game there?
Such bullshit.
I thought it was
come on. With 2 minutes left in the game.
The Rangers were getting held all over the place.
I know.
And nothing was called, and then McDonough, and then they call that penalty on McDonough.
I know. We can't seem to get any. I mean, I don't want to give excuses, because I think we, you know, didn't score, and if we would have scored more goals, we wouldn't even have to worry about that.
Right.
But it's just the fact that it seems like since the Winter Classic and Tortorella opening his mouth, we've had no luck. And I don't blame Tortorella, because I agree with him on what he said. Because he was right that the officiating was awful and whatever, but now it's been affecting us, and it stinks.
Right.
It's like, what could we possibly do to, I don't know, make Bettman not hate us? Win the Stanley Cup? Maybe then he'll love us. he seems to follow whatever team is the best team after they win. So, like, you know, he's a little bit more favored towards, you know, Pittsburgh. Obviously, he is. But, I mean, Boston, too, seems to have things go their way. There's
sometimes
certain teams that
yeah.
seem to be on his favor.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I kind of always wanted to call into the NHL hour with him and just be like, I hate you.
And hang up.
Yeah, but I won't do that because that's me.
All right. Well, Emily, listen, I'm going to take a couple other calls before I wrap this up. But thank you so much for finally calling in. I've only been asking you for weeks, and I appreciate you coming through. And go finish your beer, and we'll talk in the chat room.
You're welcome.
Hey, and tell your dad to come listen to the show and join us one night. He sounds like he'd fit right in with this bunch.
He does sometimes. Like, he'll walk in the room while I'm listening, and he'll be like, oh, that's really interesting. And then he'll go back inside.
Oh.
But, yeah,
well, no,
I'll tell him next time I listen.
Yeah,
you should come and listen with
hey.
Me.
All right. Hopefully, all right. We'll have a show Tuesday night.
Cool.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. All right. That was the great Emily Lauren calling in. So 646-478-4692, if you guys want to call in, we'll get you on, talk about whatever you want. I don't even care. Whatever you want to talk about. You want to talk about football, you want to talk about the Mets, you want to talk about the price of oil, I don't give a shit, whatever. We're just having fun on a Saturday night here. Here's, I tell you what, we'll go back to the phones in just a second. Here's a little, we'll mix in a little Irish drinking song.
I tumble and it's who I am, all drunk and full of smoke. My wife said I have had enough, that said I'm sick, get out. So I stumbled down to Kelly's pub, across the edge of town. And I told the boys my story, and we had another round.
All right. Well, I thought that was the Dropkick Murphys. Turns out it is Flogging Molly, thanks to Emily, who knew that. So 646-478-4692 is the number. Since I forget who asked me. It was Jag. Okay. Asked me about this. I will mention last night, or not last night. What was last night? Last night was Friday night, Thursday night. I put this out on Twitter. That's how Jag is asking about it. Thursday night, my neighbors were having sex out in their backyard. I didn't get to hear them, but I heard about it. And if I had heard them, I would have been out there with my megaphone cheering them on. And so I was kind of sorry I missed it. You know, I would have been out there like this with the megaphone. Come on, let's go, let's go. What are you doing out there? You know, I thought it'd be funny to kind of play the Rangers goal song as they were finishing up. But now Rocco is saying it's Buck 09, whoever they are. It's not Dropkick Murphys. It's Buck 09. But Emily says that it's Flogging Molly. So we seem to have a debate. Joe D. Yeah, I know. I couldn't. I didn't know if you wanted me to put your name out there. So I just said Jag 94. We call you by your screen names unless we know you as otherwise, you know, as long as you're hanging around and you're comfortable here. And, you know, I don't just give out people's names. So anyway, that's the scoop on that. And we'll get back to the phone calls in just a second. 646-478-4692 is the number. I was kind of hoping Eddie would show up. Doesn't look like that's going to happen. I think he's leaving me to my own devices. Emily is swearing that it's Flogging Molly. Somebody Google this for me. The name of the song is Drink and Fight. I'll do it myself. Drink and Fight. According to Google... Oh, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Now, hold on a second. If you Google the song Drink and Fight, which is the title of the song, 3 YouTube videos come up. One for Dropkick Murphys, one for Buck09, and one for Flogging Molly. Maybe we're all right. Who knows? According to Wikipedia, it is a Buck09 song. And according to ST Lyrics, it is a Flogging Molly song. So perhaps they both did a version of it, and I just – yes, Emily did the same thing I did. Maybe it's just an old Irish drinking song, and a couple of different people have done a couple covers on it. So who knows? If somebody could find out who does the actual –
Ask them all.
Thank you, Frankie. If somebody who does the actual version of that song will –
He is very highly related.
Oh, thank you. Hi, Frankie. Nice to see you. All right, let's go to back to the phones. Howie, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you?
Half in the bag, my friend. Half in the bag.
Yeah, it looks that way.
And I just spilled my beer. But I'm all right. What's going on?
Not too much. Just hanging out on a Saturday after, of course, that debacle. The biggest issue I noticed with them tonight was, you're getting a lot of shots, but he saw a lot of them, and there weren't a lot of high shots. They weren't really going high on him. He was going down a ton early, you know, and I've seen it before with him when he was in Washington as well.
Right.
But what can you do? You know, and I'm starting to wonder, you know, the Pens are on this great run. I'm starting to wonder, maybe they hit the wall soon. You know, you cannot keep playing at this pace. Of course, getting a million calls from the officials doesn't hurt you either.
Right. Right. Yeah, that helps. That helps.
Yeah. But, I mean, on the whole, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Wherever they finish at this point. I mean, it would be disappointing to have them lose the division after being up top all year long. But I'm having flashbacks to 05-06.
Right. Yeah, because that was kind of a similar situation. They were at first in the conference most of the season. And then had to fight for their lives to stay in the playoff race, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And, it's funny. I still remember going back. I remember that 94 game because I was at that game with my friend because I used to buy season his tickets. And I remember how livid you could just sense the body language from Keenan behind the bench that night.
The Ducks game
that I was talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that was because I wanted to go. My friend's like, you can have that ticket because, you know, the first game in New York, the whole nine yards. And they were manhandled the whole night.
Yeah. I think Keenan smashed the stick on the over the net.
Yeah, it was the next practice the next day.
Yeah.
And then it's funny because after that they went on a major tear.
Did they? I'm trying to actually.
Yeah, they went on a big time tear. And it kind of really set the ball in motion, you know, rolling for them for that season.
Yeah.
And, but,
let's
you know.
See. Oh, they lost, they didn't lose as bad as I thought they did. They lost 4-2 at home to the Ducks.
Yeah, but Terry Yake had a hat trick because Cutter had posted that before, so.
And then actually lost the following game in Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
And then got on a streak where they didn't lose for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They won 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They went 14 in a row without a loss after that.
I remember that because Richter said all sorts of – Richter had set all sorts of Ranger records.
Right. And then, of course, the Islanders of all teams broke the streak.
Yeah,
But yep, then after the that, they went another seven without a loss. So, I mean, they really got hot after that.
Yeah, I think between November and December, they lost four games that year. I mean, that was just...
That looks about right.
Yeah, and it's funny because in March they struggled that year, and then, of course, April was, you know, they played a few games. But, you know, I think about that, and that was a totally different team. And, yeah, having been a longtime fan, I want to see another cup in my lifetime, you know.
Yeah, well, I think we all do.
I mean, it would be nice. But, you know, the bottom line is just get in. Get in and see what happens. I mean, I still believe that they're lacking scoring, and right now it can be stopped. They're a one-line team, and they can be stopped.
Yeah. I would say part of that as well. You know, you've got some guys that Dubinsky and Stepan just aren't scoring. You know, and they don't get much offense from their defense, which they were getting a little bit of early in the season, but they don't really get much of it tonight lately. Although I still think Girardi got that goal. They gave it to Zuccarello, but I didn't see any evidence that Zuccarello touched that puck.
No,
I mean,
he never touched it.
Good for Zuccarello. Yeah. Let him get the goal, but I don't. I think that was Girardi's goal, but still, they haven't gotten much from their defense.
No, defense really hasn't done a whole lot, and you can't win as a one-line team.
Right. No,
I mean, let's be honest, and everybody's like, oh, Dubinsky, you know, Dubinsky, 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 and I'm sorry, but he again, you know, he's just very frustrating to watch, so.
Dubinsky!
Yeah, right. But, man, it's, you know, what are you going to do? You got, like I said, you got to move on. And yeah, you got to beat the Devils on Monday. You got to get back on the horse, beat them, and you're right. 2 points is all they need now. So,
and that clinches, right? That's where they're at right now, right?
Uh huh. Yeah. And you know what? I would love to see Philly beat the shit out of the Penguins tomorrow.
Yeah. Right now, you want the Penguins losing. You don't care who it's to.
Yeah, you don't care. You know, because it's funny, if Penguins tie the Rangers, it doesn't matter, season series, the Rangers right now still sit in front of them.
Right.
Tied with points because the Rangers have six more regulation wins. So, as bad as it was tonight, there's still some positive you can at least look at going forward.
Right. I think, you know, the thing that bothered me about tonight's game is they've been playing so well at home.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't laid a whole lot of eggs at home this year, like we've seen in years past. In years past when they were fighting for their playoff lives, we've seen them lay eggs to the Thrashers and the Predators, the dregs of the league. And this year they've managed to avoid that. And I know they're not fighting for their playoff lives, but you know, they still, you know, the division is slipping through their fingers at this point.
Yeah.
With Pittsburgh playing so well and them not 4-5-1 over their last 10, Pittsburgh's 10-0.
Yeah.
They've got to figure out a way out of this with the Devil. And now the Red Wings, they got the Red Wings this week too, which was the team.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, everybody was worried about them playing, but now the Red Wings are struggling too now, right?
Yeah, the Red Wings are struggling. They stink on the road.
Yeah, well, and I said that. You know, everybody, when they had that long home streak, and everybody was talking about Detroit, and I said, yeah, and I said it on the show. I said, yeah, they're great at home, but they're pretty average on the road.
Yep, they sure are.
And, you know, they're under 500 on the road. They're 3-6-1 in their last 10. They've lost 3 in a row.
Yeah. I think they're playing San Jose tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that game. Yeah. Is that the NBC game tomorrow?
Maybe. I think the Flyers-Penguins is an NBC game as well.
Oh, maybe the Detroit. I thought I saw the Detroit game on my DirecTV guide. Maybe they're on Versus or NBC.
Oh, I don't know, maybe.
Or is Eddie calls it MSNBC Sports?
Oh,
so,
man.
So, Yeah, what are you going to do? The Devils game, that's on NBC Sports, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's a 7:30 start.
And then I think Wednesday night against the Red Wings, that's on NBC Sports.
That's another 7:30 start.
So I don't get to hear Sam and Joe again until I think
Friday.
Yeah.
When they played Buffalo.
Yeah, and they had to the other night against the Penguins. Now, I thought that game was originally supposed to be on the NHL Network. And then they announced that it was going to be on NBC Sports. And I thought I was going to catch a break and avoid the Pittsburgh announcers because the game would be on NBC Sports.
Yeah.
But all NBC Sports did was do what NHL Network does and pick up the Root Sports Pittsburgh feed. So what I did was I brought my laptop out into my living room. I put 1050 ESPN on my computer and hooked my speakers up to my laptop so that I could listen to Kenny Albert and Dave Maloney and muted the TV because there was just no way I could listen to those two buffoons in Pittsburgh on Sidney Crosby's first game back in New York with Pittsburgh. There was no way. I couldn't do it.
It wasn't much better on MSG, trust me.
Well, that's what I heard.
It was horrible.
Sam and Joe were really gushing about Crosby.
Yeah, they forgot that the team they broadcast for is actually playing. It was playing that night.
Yeah, I heard that, but Kenny Albert and Dave Maloney, it was fun to listen to them. It was fun to listen. I was glad I got the opportunity. But I get a lot of comedy out of Joe and Sam, so I want to hear them at every possible opportunity. And it was funny because, like I was saying before, we went to Hooters tonight to watch the game, and the manager of the Hooters here, he remembered us because it's the same place. We had the whole Arizona group. We had like 10, 15 people over there to watch the game against the Bruins about a month ago.
Right.
So he remembered me, and he put the game on for us, but he accidentally put he wasn't thinking about it. He put the Avalanche feed on, and we got him to change the New York feed so I could hear so I could hear Sam and Joe. They were okay tonight.
Yeah.
Nothing out of it. Nothing.
No,
drastic.
They weren't bad.
Yeah. Gushing a little bit about how great their defense is and how great their penalty kill or their power play is on the road. But Landeskog, oh, he's great, Joe. Oh, he's tremendous. But other than that, they were okay tonight.
Yeah, they weren't bad.
All right, Howie, anything else?
All right. No, I'm good, man. I'm going to go relax and go to bed soon. So.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, no problem, man.
All right, take it easy.
You too.
Bye. All right, the great Howie Sussman. Let's stay with the phone. 631-974.
Hey.
What's up, Costa?
Hey, at least Toronto people can attest to what I'm saying, sort of, kind of. There's a little favoritism with the Penguins and stuff.
You're such a conspiracy theorist.
I love it. I'll tell you right now, I wouldn't buy a used car from those jokers.
I love it. You're such a conspiracy theorist.
But
all right, so let me ask you. You're a guy that you've weathered through these slumps, these little ruts in the ice that the Rangers have hit, these bumps in the road. You've kind of maintained a calm demeanor. How are you feeling right now about the Rangers?
Honestly, they should play 7D.
Don't lie to me.
they should play 7D, and Scott should be up in the friggin' wherever the scratch players sit in the friggin' garden.
The press box up with the black aces?
Exactly. Play 7D off the ice and just hope for the best. Because the D is running on empty, my friend. The D is running on empty.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
If you're gonna play 7 defensemen, what 7 defensemen? Who are you playing? Tell me who your 7D men are. You're making out the lineup card tomorrow night.
McDonough, Girardi, Stahl, Stroman, Delzato, Eminger, and I would put Bickle as the 7th.
Not Erickson. Did you say Erickson?
Wait a minute. Yeah. No. Take Bickle out. Put Erickson in.
All right. So you got Stahl. I'm going to write these down. Stahl, because I've had a few. Stahl, Girardi, McDonough, Strawman.
Yes.
Erickson.
Yes.
All right. And?
Sure.
Eminger.
Yes.
All right.
Alzado.
And MDZ. All right, so that's all right. That's your seven. So no,
yeah.
All right. So you're throwing Wojcicki up to the press box. He's done. And
yeah.
No more Bickle. So you're like me because I haven't even gotten into it yet. But you're done with Stu Bickle at this point.
You see the goal. He was on the ice.
He got faked out of his jock.
Exactly. It should have played the body with that. Everybody's saying you should have played the body with him. And I hope he doesn't get 2 minutes.
Right. No, you know what? He shit his pants on the guy, to coin a phrase.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest with you. You know, I like Stu Bickle. You know, he's
okay.
A tough guy. He's a soldier. He does what they ask him to do, but he's not an every night defenseman.
Yeah,
now that
you have a lot of defensemen, you have a lot of defensemen. Now what I would do is rest at least one guy a game. Just give him a rest, because that D is getting taxed, man. That D is getting taxed.
Now Eminger's hurt. You know, I forgot about that. Eminger's hurt. So you putting Wojcicki in for Eminger?
No.
No, you don't want anything to do with Wojcicki?
Oh, no.
Well, then you got to play Bickle, or you got to call somebody up.
That's fine. I have no problem with that. Wait, isn't it true that Bickle can play forward, too?
Who?
Can't Bickle play a little forward, too?
Well, he has. He has played forward. Whether or not he can play forward, that's another story.
Yeah.
I mean,
I
mean, you could put me in the lineup and put me at defense, or you could put me at forward. The question is, can I play?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe. Will I? Sure. I'll play goalie if you don't put me in there, but the question is, can I?
Yeah, but that's my thing. I would dress seven defensemen. I would dress seven because McDonough's gonna run out of gas.
Well, I'm worried about McDonough. I'm worried about Girardi. I'm Stahl's conditioning at this point. I mean, the guy's only played, guy's, been out. He was, sitting there doing nothing for so long.
Yeah.
Worried about his conditioning. I just think this stretch that they're in right now where there's a game every other day, and I know John Tortorella doesn't want to tell anybody that his team is tired, and he doesn't want to tell anybody that his team is, he doesn't want to, now they don't need, did you see this? They don't want to mention guys' injuries anymore because they think the media is unfairly portraying their injuries. So they don't want to talk about injuries. They don't want to talk about the team being tired. But, they're playing every other night. And I'm looking at the schedule. Let me see here. They come back Monday night, then they come back Wednesday.
They only have one extra day off the rest of the season.
Yeah, they're gonna get next Sunday and Monday off,
and that's it.
After they play the Maple Leafs, they'll get Sunday and Monday, and then they'll get one day off, and then one day off, one day off, one day off, one day off, and then the season's over. And then hopefully get 4 or 5 days, 3 or 4 days off probably before the playoffs start.
Yeah.
And, if I'm Tortorella, I'm telling his team not to get out of bed for the first day after the season's over against the Capitals. Don't get out of bed and just watch TV all day or something, I mean, this team needs a break. They cannot, the way they play, they were so physical and the forechecking and the blocking the shots. It's just, it's human nature that they're going to wear out. And I think they're a little worn out.
Yeah.
The NHL, I mean, the NHL has just killed them with this schedule. They really have. You know, I don't want to make, I try not to make excuses, but.
Or conspiracy theories.
I know. But 17 games in March, right? I think that's what it works out to, isn't it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Yes, 17 games. I haven't looked at anybody else's schedule, but is there another team in the NHL playing 17 games in March? I don't know about that. Especially a team that had to start the first month of the season on the road. And not just on the road, but backpacking through Europe, you know?
That's why I'm a conspiracy theorist. That's why, man. I don't trust these motherfuckers. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust them. I don't trust any of them.
So, but they get through it, and like I said, hopefully they'll get 3 or 4 days off before the playoffs start, and then they can go from there.
Let me ask you something, Jim. Would you have gone all in?
What do you mean?
With Nash. Would you have gone all in with Nash or no?
Well, you know,
looking back.
Well, I mean, hindsight, you know, I was on the Nash bandwagon, and I said, if you can go get Nash and he's not going to cost too much, then you got to go get him. Because he's an elite forward. He's an elite forward, and those, you know, they're not a dime a dozen. You know, you only get so many opportunities to get an elite forward. And I know the money was a concern for some fans, and I know, you know, my only problem was if the stories were true of what Columbus was asking, then they were asking too much.
Absolutely. They wanted the farm. They basically wanted the farm.
Yeah. If they could have gotten him for some of the, you know, I don't even, you know, at this point, I don't even remember what some of the packages were that were being tossed around, but. You know, if he was Dubinsky and I think Del Zotto and a draft pick or something, I think was one of the packages that was thrown around. You know, then yeah, I would have done it. I wasn't completely married to the idea of including Kreider, but I wasn't completely. I would have been okay with them trading Kreider, depending on what else was in the deal, but. You know, look, would Rick Nash have made them a better team? Unquestionably. Would he have made them a better team this year? Yes.
Yeah.
Does he make them better for the next 5 years? I think so, but you know, look, they're committed to the Chris Kreiders and the JT Millers and Christian Thomas,
et cetera.
And who's the other one? And McElrath, and
et cetera.
You know, the Andrew Yogans, I think they're pretty high on as well. And this is the path they want to take. So, you know, we as fans just we have to be patient. We have to be.
And one final thing: do you think we get him in the draft?
What's that?
You think we can get him at the draft?
No, because I think there's going to be more players for him at the draft than there were during the season. And I think he's going to be more willing to go to different teams in the offseason than it would have been this year. This is just my opinion, but when he's looking at it in February, as far as who he'll be traded to, he's looking at, well, who gives me my best shot of winning maybe this year? And
yeah,
he was
looking at the
Rangers because they were in first place, and you know, he's looking at LA. But in the off season, you know, I think he'll have a broader mind about it, if you will. So no, I don't think the Rangers want in on him. At this point, I do think they're going to be. I think the longer this little slump they're in goes on, I think the more the better the chances are of seeing Chris Kreider for the playoffs. I will say that much.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this: where is he going to be right in the playoffs? Because when is the Frozen Four? I have no doubt that BC is going to be in the Frozen Four.
Right. They won today, didn't they, BC? I think they won today.
Against Maine.
Yeah. So, but and apparently, I heard something from Chris Lopresti, who's big on, he's a big Ranger fan, and he's all over Twitter, and he said that he spoke to somebody close to Kreider, and said that Kreider is itching for Boston College to be done with school and to get and to sign with the Rangers. So we'll see. I'd like to see him. I'd like to see him.
You think? Let me tell you something, dude. I want no part of Zach Parise, because I've seen how many times we've gone after ex Devils and they flop. They all flop. You think Parise is gonna be the change the rule, or you think it's just gonna be the same old?
Well. Well, I think Parisi's a completely different animal than the other guys they've signed from the Devils. Bobby Holique. Everybody looks at Bobby Holique, and Bobby Holique was the Chris Drury of his day. He was expected. He was paid and expected to do things that he was not capable of doing and was never going to do.
Yeah, Holique was a third line center, and they came to be a first center.
Exactly. If I'm not mistaken, I know we've talked about this before, and if I'm not mistaken, Bobby Holique actually had one or two pretty good years for the Rangers. What's that?
Don't forget Gomez.
Gomez, the same thing. I think what has come to piss Ranger fans off more about Gomez now is the attitude more than anything else. I mean, I think if you go back and look at Gomez's body of work with the Rangers, it's pretty much in line with most of his career. But I think it was more the attitude and what he kind of represented more than anything else. But, Parise, we're talking about a completely different animal. Parise, you're talking about a goal scorer in his prime.
Yes.
You're not talking about, you signed Zach Parise, you know exactly what you're getting, and you're going to pay him as such. You're not talking about Bobby Holique and paying him to be a first line center, giving him, what was it, $9 million? Bruce Driver or
guys like McClain.
John McClain, John Muckler's favorite player. You're talking about a guy in his prime who is at the top of his game. So I think you're talking about a completely different animal with Zach Parise. And look, if they can make it work, I welcome Zach Parise with open arms.
And the Devils are in big trouble, my man. They might have to declare bankruptcy or something. They're in big trouble. I don't think the Devils can re-sign Parise because they broke the bank for Kovalchuk.
Good, fuck them. Fuck that franchise forever.
All right, let me get out of here because it's bedtime.
Thanks for calling in, buddy. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.
Good calls tonight from Emily and Costa, 646-4, and Howie, 646-478-4692, the number. If you guys want to call in, probably got a half hour left, but I don't know if we're going to make it that far. Been a good show so far, though. I think we've kept things rolling for you.
Can't get a signal where I live. So what I do is I move down the street near the tower at a Hess gas station.
Oh, okay, Frankie. Well, you do that.
Andrew
what about
Cugliano.
Thank you, Frankie. Always good to see you. So here we go. Let's see. 646-478-4692 is the number. I believe this is the one and only Cutter. Cutter, how are you?
Doing fine, Jim. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. What's going on?
Well, it's almost the stroke of midnight, so...
That it is. I can't argue with you there.
Yeah.
You want to give me the weather too, or just the time?
Why would I give you the weather? It's dark outside.
It's a joke. You got the time. You want the weather? Never mind. It's an old joke.
No, I know what you mean, Jim. Don't worry.
So what's going on? What's going on with the Leafs? Tell me what's going on with your Leafs. I haven't paid much attention to the rest of the hockey world. So tell me, what's going on with your Leafs? Are they winning? Are they losing? Are they in playoff contention?
Well,
looking at the standings,
we've won back-to-back games.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, first time in almost 2 months. Geez.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, we helped Boston out. I mean, we beat Ottawa, so Boston's now in the division lead again.
Right, but there's 6 points out of a playoff spot. Not looking good, is it?
No, there's too many teams ahead of us. That's the problem.
Right, right. We got Buffalo and Winnipeg ahead of you?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, Washington's eighth
right
now. Yeah.
Now, did you agree with the coaching change or what?
It was too long overdue. That's the problem.
It was long overdue.
Yeah, a lot of the Leaf fans were pretty much calling for Wilson's head once we got into that bad situation, like 1-9-1.
Now, correct. Again, I don't follow the Leafs very closely. I have nothing particular against the Leafs except for you in particular, because you always
shoot
your mouth off about them. But honestly, I really don't harbor any ill will against the Leafs. Hadn't they given Wilson a contract extension back in December or something?
Like in December, yeah. He actually tweeted that he had a 1-year extension in December. Oh, brother.
Wow.
Yeah.
He got a 1-year extension and then he got fired.
Yes.
You don't have to worry about unemployment. Do they have unemployment insurance in Canada? If you lose your job, do you collect unemployment?
You collect it, but you have to be really actively looking for a job and all that. You have to have proof and all that.
Now, okay, well, that's what they say in the United States, too, but people just kind of dummy that. But, I mean, we've got people on unemployment in this country for 3-4 years at this point with this economy, but I didn't know if it's the same in America. So, well, either way, he doesn't have to worry about collecting unemployment because he's going to get paid for another year.
I think so, yes. Oh, brother.
Gotcha. So, all right, so what else is going on?
What else? Well, I just heard about the Rangers losing to Colorado and all that.
You just heard about this?
Well, I heard it when you got on the air, because I didn't pay much attention to that game.
Oh.
Well.
Shut up, Cutter!
Did you have to work tonight?
Yes, I was.
Shut up, Cutter!
So you worked tonight, so you got home and came. Oh, I appreciate you tuning in.
Well, I thought it was kind of, I looked at the Facebook post, and I'm like, are you sure there's going to be an 11 p.m. show?
Yeah, I've been drinking all night, so. So I figured, what the hell, I'd do a show and keep the folks entertained. And I scheduled an hour and a half show, and I've made it through an hour and 5 minutes almost so far, so that's not too bad.
No, that isn't. Not that.
So,
yeah.
So what else? What else you got?
Well,
what else is in the news?
What else have I got? Well,
what about your Blue Jays? Are you excited for baseball? I know you're a big Blue Jays fan. I read an article yesterday about Blue Jays kind of creeping up on the Yankees. Are you looking forward to baseball season?
Oh yes, I am. You know it.
Okay.
Because it'll be nice to get away from the Leafs sucking as usual.
Right. See, I'm just the opposite. I want the Rangers to do as well as possible because I know the Mets are going to be terrible.
Well, Well, I have no real will on the Rangers. You do realize that?
I know that. And I said I harbor no ill will towards the Leafs except for you because you're a pain in the ass when it comes to...
Which is fine. I don't care if you hate me.
Because you shoot your mouth off.
I know. I have a habit of doing that.
That's all right.
Yeah. Well, the Blue Jays are looking good this year. I mean, they are pretty well. They're doing well in spring training, but it doesn't mean a thing once the regular season comes.
Of course. Spring training's useless.
Yeah, it's just to give people roster spots and all that.
And I saw Toronto went back to their old uniforms. That's good. I like
that. Yeah, that was a welcome change.
Rico Cardi uniforms.
Well,
almost.
Technically you're right.
Right.
Because, well, the Blue Jays, well, that logo was around for, the first logo was around for like 20 years, and then they changed it. So, that logo was around when the Jays won those World Series titles.
Right. Joe Carter and, who's the manager? Cito Gaston?
That's the
manager, right? Joe Carter can't remember anybody else who was on that team right off the top of my head, but.
Well, I don't want to embarrass you and rattle off like a
lot. Won't embarrass me. You want what? You're going to embarrass me because I don't know the roster of the Toronto Blue Jays from 1993. Excuse me, sir, but it was 1993 that they won the World Series, correct?
Yeah, and we haven't made the playoffs.
Now you should be impressed just for the fact that I knew right off the top of my head, without looking at the computer, that it was 1993 that they won the World Series. Joe Carter hit the home run off Mitch Williams.
That's right. Correct.
But for some reason, I can't remember anybody else. Was Roberto Alomar on that team?
Yes, he was.
Okay. All right. Roberto Alomar. But, honestly, I've kind of can't really think of anybody else that was on that team right now.
Well, as I said, I know a lot of them on the 93 team, but I don't like embarrassing people.
You're not going to embarrass me. What I remember. And, you know, hold on a second. I'm going to cut you off for a second. Oh, that's right. Olerud was on that team.
Yes.
Since we got all Ranger fans, except for you, since we got all Ranger fans and people that watch MSG, have you guys seen this program they're showing with Fran Healy where they assemble a panel of baseball experts to talk about the best and worst trades and free agents and whatever in New York baseball history? Do I really need – now, I watched a couple of these. Do I really need a panel of experts, Tony La Russa and Dave Kaplan and whoever else? I think Rusty Staub's on this panel. Do I really need these guys to get together and tell me that Nolan Ryan was the worst trade the Mets have ever made? I could get three homeless people in Apache Junction, Arizona that know that. Come on. And that Keith Hernandez was a good trade? Duh. Retarded. Emily, thank you. Everybody in the chat room is listing 93 Blue Jays, Cutter. You should feel honored. Dave Stewart, Pat Borders, I forgot about him.
Yeah.
Ed Sprague.
Yes.
Yeah. Candy Maldonado, was he on that team?
I think he left after 92.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So, So Blue Jays, are they, you think they have, and you know, I'm pretty much out of hockey at this point, out of hockey things to talk about as far as the Rangers are concerned. So I'll give you a little baseball talk here. Are the Blue Jays a wild card contender? Are they good enough for the division?
Unfortunately, as everyone knows, the Blue Jays are in the toughest division in baseball. I mean, you got Tampa, New York, and Boston pretty much contending every year.
Well, yeah, of course, because they're the ones that spend the most money. I'm kind of looking forward. You know, I'm not a Yankee fan. I don't hate the Yankees like most Met fans do. Like, according to some Met fans, I'm supposed to hate. I really don't hate the Yankees. It doesn't really affect me one way or the other. You know, Yankee fans are Yankee fans, and the Yankees are the Yankees. You know, they win the World Series. To me, it's like, eh, whatever. They've won 26, 27 of them. I'm used to it. You know, the Yankees don't really affect me. Some Met fans are obsessed with the Yankees and kid, you know, whatever. And I'm no big Red Sox fan, but I'm looking forward to seeing what Bobby V and, you know, and the Red Sox do, what happens to the rivalry. I think it's going to be fun this year in baseball. Yeah, I mean, I hate the Phillies, like John Grossman saying. You know, I'm a Met fan. I hate the Phillies. I hate the Braves. Hate the Cardinals. Those are the teams I got to worry about.
Why would the Cardinals worry you?
I just hate them. Because the Cardinals, as a Met fan, the Cardinals have broken my heart several times.
Oh, okay.
1985, I was 15 years old, and I was staying up every night. The Mets had this series against the Cardinals, the end of the season in 1985, at Old Busch Stadium, staying up every night until midnight to watch these games. The first night, Strawberry hits a home run off the clock at Old Busch Stadium. I should really be impressing you here with my memory, by the way. And then I think the second game, Van Slyke beat them with a home run. And that game, that series was a three-game series, and it really meant the NL East at the time, and the Mets wound up losing, and the Cardinals won the division and went to the World Series and lost to the Royals.
Right. Well, funny you mentioned 1985.
And then in 06, the Cardinals, again, because Carlos Beltran chose not to take the bat off his shoulders on a 3-2 pitch with the bases loaded from Adam Wainwright. Thank you very much, Carlos. We love you.
Well, Yadier Molina killed you in Game 7. I think that was the guy who hit that.
Thanks again, Aaron Heilman.
What did you say? Sorry.
I said thanks again, Aaron Heilman.
Aaron Heilman. Oh, I didn't know that.
Aaron Heilman, the relief pitcher that came in and gave up the home run.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Okay.
But as I was about to say, Jim, like you mentioned 1985 and all that. I mean, in the history of the Blue Jays, you remember, I don't know if you remember, but Toronto was so close to the World Series that year.
Yep, I do remember that.
I mean, I don't know why baseball expanded the division series, or no, the LCS, beg pardon, to a best of seven that particular year.
Yes.
Yes.
I think I remember that.
It was that particular season. I mean, if they had any, if everything of course was back, normal, the year before, I mean, the Blue Jays would have been to the World Series and probably would have given St. Louis a run for their money.
Right. No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Do the Blue Jays still have their spring training in Dunedin, Florida? Dunedin?
Dunedin,
okay. Just curious. Since I don't live in Florida anymore, it's hard for me to keep track of where everybody's moving to. And there was an article in the Times the other day, and I know this really doesn't matter to you, but any Met fans are out there. There was an article in the Times the other day that the Mets are looking for someone to come share the Port St. Lucie home. And if they don't find anybody, they might have to move because a couple of the teams that were close in proximity to where the Mets are in Port St. Lucie have moved, and all of the Mets traveling during spring training is there's only like three teams that are within like an hour or two drive of them. So,
well,
they might have to move. So I'm hoping they move to Arizona. There's always room for another team in Arizona. I would love to have the Mets out here.
I don't know if I'm correct about this, Jim, but didn't the Mets share St. Lucie with St. Louis at one time?
No. I think, no, they never shared. Port St. Lucie was Cutter, when the Mets first moved to Port St. Lucie, it was an absolute wasteland. I mean, there was nothing there. Everything that is in Port St. Lucie only exists now because the Mets built their spring training complex there. But they used to share – you're partially correct. I believe they used – when the Mets used to be in St. Petersburg, I think they shared that with St.
Louis. St. Petersburg, right.
I think
that
so. Now the Cardinals are in Jupiter and they share that with the Marlins.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Good You were close, though. I give you props.
Yeah. I thought St. Lucie and St. Louis sounded familiar.
Yeah. Yeah. You're close. So, now they play in Jupiter, but they share with the Marlins. So
that's right. Jupiter.
All right. Well, listen, Cutter, I'm going to let you go.
Yeah.
I'm going to finish the show. I'm going to play the Doobie Cat song on the way out. And I thank you for calling. And good call tonight, my friend. I appreciate it.
Likewise, Jim.
Right.
Go Leafs next Saturday.
We'll get you. All right. I'll talk to you soon, Jeff. Take
You'll
it
easy. You'll probably get us. Okay. Au revoir.
Bye. Jeff, you got to send me some Molson Export. I need some Canadian beer since I don't plan on getting to Canada anytime soon. All right, guys, it's been a fun show. Yes, Al Lang Field in St. Petersburg. Jack Lang's brother, Jack Lang, used to cover the Mets for the Daily News. It's been a fun show. I appreciate you guys joining me. I'm going to end this about 15 minutes early. I think we're out of steam, and it's been fun. I'm going to play the Doobie Cat, and then we'll be done. So without further ado, 4 million.
The pitch game. The pitch game. The pitch game.
We're all gonna cheer when he